Let's open our Bibles to the book of Joel. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, and then Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Verse 11. The Lord gives his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. Verse 15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them." Why should they, that is, the nations, say among the peoples, "Where is their God?" We've been speaking to you in a series that would be best described as the word of the Lord that came to Joel, prophet, or spoke to you on the ravages of sin, then the armies of the Lord, and then the day of the Lord in its various usages. That is, the day or the days of salvation, the days of the Son of Man, the days of judgment, and the great day of judgment. All of these are usages of the phrase, the day of the Lord. But one thing common in all of these days that's called the day or the days of the Lord is that they call forth the blowing of trumpets. This is our topic for this morning. I want to speak to you on this admonition that we saw twice here in the word of the Lord as he comes to Joel, blow the trumpet in Zion. Trumpets. Considering, first of all, that instrument. Very prominent in the scriptures. And they have great significance all the way through the Bible. In these trumpets is typified the word of God himself. That is, his very voice. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10, you see that. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 10. I was in the Spirit, John said, on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and Smyrna and Pergamos and Thyatira and to Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea." And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. Having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about his chest with a golden band. His head and his hair was white as wool, as white as snow. His eyes was a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as refined in a furnace, and his voice, that voice that he heard, which is the sound of a trumpet, as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun in the street. Who do you think that is? Who is that fellow he saw? Who? That's Jesus. Yes, that's the Lord. He saw the Lord. And I saw him, I fell at his feet in dead. All of that he saw when he heard this voice as a voice of a trumpet. The first mention of the trumpet in the Bible just kindly pops up. And anything said about it? Trumpets, of course, existed at that time. They were very prominent. They were commonly known, and their usage was well known. The first mention is in the book of Exodus, the second book in the Bible. This is the first time you find a trumpet mentioned. It's at Mount Sinai, where the old covenant came down and was executed and given and ratified. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 13. Talking about the mountain, Mount Sinai. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow, whether man or beast, he shall not live. It's a terrible thing. When the trumpet sounds, long they shall come near the mountain. The trumpet is the signal there, the giving of the old covenant at Mount Sinai. Now that is also given to us as reference in Hebrews chapter 12. That's at the other end of the Bible, in the New Covenant side of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. We'll begin reading. He's giving a contrast here between the first giving of the law, the old covenant, and a contrast between what we have now, which is the new covenant. You have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and darkness and tempest. And the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. You hadn't come there. We're not going to read the whole passage, but it goes on down and says we come to a better place than that. There's still a trumpet, but it isn't that kind of trumpet. It isn't striking that kind of fear. The first chapter of Hebrews, since you're there, we will might as well make reference to that, gives another indication of the contrast between that time and this time. Hebrews chapter 1. God. Remember, we are underscoring the fact that this blowing of trumpets has reference to God Himself speaking, the voice of God, the Word of God. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. God, who spoke with the voice of a trumpet now has spoken once again with the voice of a trumpet in the person of His Son. That's what John heard and saw on Patmos. The Bible talks also of the last trumpet. This is the first mention that we have in the book of Exodus. But the Bible also talks about the last trumpet. Not the last mention of the word, because it is mentioned after this, but the last trumpet. And it's very important that we realize and set before us, as we're considering this, of the blowing of the trumpets, that there's going to be a last trumpet. The last trumpet. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. This would be greatly instructive to a lot of people on eschatology if they would just think a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 52. He's talking about the resurrection. Verse 51, he says, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall all be changed. Now, if somebody tells you that's the...
Due to some problem at the time this message was preached, there is an approximate 9-minute segment at this point that was lost and was not recorded. Just hang on and he will continue in approximately 8 minutes.
had it off. I turned it, must have been on, and I moved it. The trumpet in the Old Covenant and the trumpet in the New Covenant. The Old Covenant trumpet was blown by the priests of Zion. We're told that in chapter 10 and verse 8. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. The Old Covenant trumpet was blown by the priests in Zion. That was the silver trumpets of Numbers 10 and 8. Also, the ram's horn was blown by the priests. We see that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 4. And you're familiar with that battle of Jericho when he said, Joshua chapter 6, verse 4. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Here they're blowing ram's horns. But trumpets were also not only blown by the priests, as is indicated here, but they were blown by the captains of the Lord's armies on the battlefield. And particularly, we're told, the judge Ehud blew a trumpet. Gideon blew a trumpet. Saul blew the trumpet. Joab blew the trumpet. So we find the captains and the leaders of the people in the battle using the trumpet for its purposes. In addition to that, the watchmen who sat on the towers and on the walls round about the city were charged with blowing a trumpet when the security was threatened. They had a very important and vital position, and they executed their purpose of watchmen with the trumpet. So how does that relate to the New Covenant? In the New Covenant, who are the priests in the New Covenant? The Bible says in the Old Covenant, the priests are going to blow the trumpet. Where are the priests in the New Covenant? Can you tell me where the priests are? Who are the priests? Yeah, we're all priests. Yeah, the Bible says we are a generation of priests, a nation of a royal priesthood, each and every one of us. This is what we call the competency of the soul before God with none other than Jesus Christ. We're all priests to offer up acceptable sacrifice, made acceptable sacrifices, sacrifices made acceptable by our Lord Jesus Christ. We're priests unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus being the one high priest by which our sacrifices and worship and ministries are all made acceptable. So we're all horn blowers. Sound the trumpet in Zion. The voice of the trumpet, the word of God. You remember now we said the trumpet. Its significance is the word of God, literally God himself speaking. The voice of the trumpet, the word of God, God's voice, is now heard in the voice of the church in its individual members, that is, personally and individually. But it's also heard in its entirety, wherever we witness, wherever we speak, wherever we carry God's word, wherever we speak the truth. Brother Denny said a little while ago, when you stand for truth, you win even when you lose the argument. I say that a little further. If you're standing for truth, but if you're wrong and lose the argument, you also win. Because you learn something. Yes, I was thinking about what Paul said in Philippians 2. He says, by which I have, concerning Christ, for whom I have lost everything. Well, he's a loser, isn't he? But he says, I count it but dung that I might win Christ. But the loser's the winner. Yeah. And so when we speak the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus in God, you're blowing the trumpet. We're all trumpet blowers. Sound the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion. So it's heard in its individual members. It's also heard in its entirety. Yes, those testimonies, that testimony, that truth that began, that came to us in Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago, unchanged, and not ever going to be changed. That's the trumpet of God. That is the Word of God. That is the truth. That is the light. That is the foundation. No other can be laid than is laid. The trumpet is blown in Zion, which is the new covenant church. It is the light of the world and the pillar and ground of truth. Blow the trumpet in Zion. I know it not sound. It sounds like a ram's horn to this world. Yeah, it don't sound silver. It isn't pretty. I want to tell you, the silver trumpets of this world sound like the worst ram horns to me. I want to go around my fingers in my ears. To hear the voice of the Son of God in His saints and from His church. Elders, ministers, church leaders are now God's captains on the battlefield. You remember we said the trumpet was blown by the priests? That's all of us. The trumpet is also blown by the captains on the battlefield. These are the elders. These are the ministers. These are the leaders in the church. And they are also called the watchmen. The trumpet is also blown by the watchman. Perhaps when we come back to this, we'll talk a little bit about that. The watchman. These are watchmen who are solemnly charged to watch for the souls of which they must give an account. What kind of watchman is it that sees danger and sees those, the city or the soul for whom he must watch, threatened? And he won't blow the trumpet. Who goes to sleep and doesn't even see the danger, or sees the danger and he doesn't want to lose his popularity, and he refuses to blow the trumpet. We see that expressed in a few passages. You can look them up if you want to. I'll give them to you. One is in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33. Verse 1 through 7. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword on the land, and the people of the land take a man from the territory and make him their watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows a trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be as on his own head. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Now you understand what Paul meant when he said, I am free from the blood of all men. He could say, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. I'm free from the blood of all men. He sounded the trumpet. So you, Son of Man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. Isaiah 62 and verse 6 addresses this. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day or night. No, we're not going to run out of preachers and watchmen. Leaders, God's going to have them to blow the trumpet in Zion. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest till he establishes, till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Hebrews 13 and 17 speaks on the other hand to those whom the leaders and elders watch for. Hebrews 13 and 17. Obey those who rule, or rather have the leadership over you, and be submissive. Why? For they watch for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Paul, with the elders in the 20th chapter of Acts in verse 28, he said, I charge you to watch and care and plead the flock of God, over whom the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to sound the trumpet. There is one other way the sound or the voice of the trumpet is heard in the New Covenant. You heard that way in the Old Covenant too. In fact, if it isn't heard this way, it isn't heard at all. The voice of trumpet is also heard in the Holy Spirit. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He's not talking about something that the otologists treat nowadays. That's ear doctors. You can be plumb deaf, both ears. Hear the voice of the Son of God. You hear him. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. This is that inward hearing of the Word of God. His calling, his warning, his guiding, his comforting. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I be, whate'er I do, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He guides us, he leads his dear children along. We hear him. We hear the voice of the Son of God on the inward. I cannot explain that to you, but if you're a Christian, you know what I'm talking about. You understand that? Yes, that's the trumpet of God that the Holy Spirit himself blows. And if you don't hear that inwardly, you're not going to hear anything outwardly. What are the purposes of the trumpet? And we're only going to mention these today and then go on. Perhaps next time we will go into them more particularly. The purposes of the trumpet. It's an instrument by which people are called together. We saw this back over here in Numbers 1 and 10. I'm going to go back over there again. I know I'm running you around through the Bible quite a bit today. It won't hurt you. Numbers 10. When they blow, verse 3, when they blow both of them, all the assembly shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle. If they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. And so it is an instrument, considering it is the Word of God, as God himself speaking. It is an instrument by which people are called together. It is God's sanctifying call to his elect people at an awakening blast of his trumpet. That's what that is, the effectual call. bringing them out of where they were. It separates you. Assembling them together in Christ. And that's where the word church gets to be associated with an assembly. He calls us out. He calls them to himself. But the thing that makes us get together isn't simply because we like each other. Or we got necessarily the same pet axe to grind. But it's Christ. It's the Spirit himself. And as I think of the beloved saints of God whom I love and who are dearest to my heart, I have to remember, and I can always remember, almost the first time I met them and didn't know a thing in the world about them. Not their personality, where they came from, what kind of people they were, anything. It seemed like I loved them immediately. There's that Christ there. We're brought together in Christ. That's the reason we love each other. Because Christ is the common bond between us. It is to inform them as to what? It is our wake-up call to bring us out of a deadly sleep of darkness into life and light and reality. It is to what now is. It's reality. And what is presently going on? Most of the people in this world don't have a clue. They're groping around in darkness like blind men. They know what's going on. They haven't a clue. It is the person who's heard the trump of God, the voice of the Son of God, has woke him up. The Bible says, if any man's in Christ, behold, all things are become new and old things are passed away. They don't exist. It's a new world. Everywhere he looks, it's God. And everything has purpose and meaning. For the first time, the trumpet wakes us up to reality as to what has happened, what has come to pass, as to what will surely come, as to what possibly may come. It is to signal God's people as to what they should now do. It is to alarm and to alert them to imminent peril. That is what may possibly come to pass if we do not properly respond to the trumpet. To prepare them for battle. And we're going to be saying more about this battle a little bit further on. We get in the book of Joel. The Bible says, beat your pruning hooks into spears and your plowshares into swords. To charge. The trumpet tells them when to charge. The trumpet tells them when to relent, to back off. The trumpet tells them when to rest. The trumpet tells them when to entreat the Lord in unison, to pray together. When to pray. When to fast. When to mourn. All this is signaled by the trumpet. But also, there's the trumpet of the Jubilee. And we're told that in Leviticus 25, 8 through 10, wonderful, beautiful, blessed passage that speaks of the gospel, speaks of Pentecost, time yet coming that Joel also brings us into. That's introduced also by the trumpet, the blast, the word of the God. The trumpets tell us when to feast, when to worship, when to celebrate, when to enjoy the Lord, when to enter into and reflect upon his mercies and his bounties and his salvation and his deliverances, and to know and enjoy and enter into the riches of his grace. All of these are the purposes of the trumpet. Now I want to spend just a little time on the critical qualifications for a trumpet. Now I want to ask you a question. Good to ask a question every now and then, find out whether people are awake or not. Arthur, where you are. Why do you think this particular instrument was used anyway? Why a trumpet? Well, for instance, why not a harp or a flute or a violin or a guitar? Why a trumpet?
Loud.
What?
Loud.
Loud. Yeah, but you know, you could beat a drum. But that's a good point there. It's a loud, and it sounds a singular, and you can hold the note a long time as long as there's wind enough to keep it going. And dear friend, if the Holy Ghost is a wind, it can keep on blowing. You never run out of wind. And that's a good point there, too. It's a wind instrument, blown by the wind of the Spirit. But you've made a good point here, loud. Why would it need to be loud? It has got to sound out distinctively above and apart from everything else you hear. We don't have much silence. Folks come out here and visit us in the country, they say, boy, it sure is quiet out here. I didn't notice about it. I used to go down Rock Hill Road barefooted on the way to Bud Pruitt's swimming hole down the bottom of the hill down there. We walked through the sand barefooted in the summertime, and of course we had to run through the sunny spots because our feet get too hot trying to find a shady place where we could stand, cool our feet off. I got more traffic on it now than Highway 167 did when I was a kid. And so the world is full of noises, full of a racket. One reason why I like to get up early in the morning is because it's quiet. The time of the day when it's quiet, no noise is going on. But generally in this world, you're hearing noises and sounds from every direction. It is absolutely imperative that the trumpet catch the attention of the people. I've been in some places where they have threats of tornadoes, and I've been there at times when the tornado siren goes off in those places. Everybody knew what it was, and you could hear that thing from one end of the whole area to another. It has to catch the attention of the people. Stay with me now. We're talking about critical qualifications for a trumpet. It has to catch the attention of the people. It does not have to be a pretty sound. Ram's horns, all right. Among those called by the Lord, there are precious few silver trumpets. I think one of the prophets, I think it was Ezekiel, God told him, said, Ezekiel, you think those folks are really listening to you. They're hearing your word. But they didn't pay no attention to what you say, and they just like your voice. It sounds so nice and pretty. I guess he must have been an eloquent man. I think that is the case many times, repeated over and over throughout the land today. People are being entertained and enjoying some eloquence, but they're not hearing anything. It doesn't have to be a pretty sound. A great multitude, however, very few silver trumpets, but a great multitude of good, serviceable, effective ram's horns. That's what most of us are. Plenty of them around. But if it is to catch the attention of its hearers, it must be unique enough to be arresting. Now, of course, in the case of the ram's horn, you're right when you said loud. But you remember, and I thought about this quite a bit. In fact, I first had it down there, loud. But I was thinking about concerning Isaiah's prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus, said he shall not lift up his voice in the street. He wasn't loud, but he sure did get their attention. He didn't have to holler very much, but they sure got their attention. Spurgeon said, and he wouldn't accept anyone in his preacher's school if their chest measurements wasn't big enough. You didn't have big enough lungs, big enough chest, you couldn't holler loud enough. So you couldn't qualify for a preacher. But in order for it to be arresting, it must be unique. So much of what we hear, it's a repetition of the same old broken record over and over and over and over again. If it's going to be arresting, it must be an altogether different sound from what is heard commonly in the world, in popular religion. Think about that a bit now. The Baptist Message had a page, front page, a few years ago on what's hot and what's not. That is, what's really going over and what everybody's saying and what everybody wants to hear and what nobody wants to hear. Well, what I was preaching wasn't hot. It was not. Always has been. Never have been on that what's hot. It's always been what's not. If it's going to be unique, it's not going to be a common thing. And the trumpet must not fear sounding so low. It must have enough volume to be heard above the din and the racket. The babble and cacophony that is continually assaulting our ears. Sheer volume and tone is not enough. A trumpet must say something in particular. Paul makes reference to this briefly in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 when he's trying to help the church in their tongue-talking business. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sound, how shall it not be known what is piped or what is played? For if the trumpet make an uncertain sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. The trumpet must say something. In fact, the message itself must be the principal arresting power. Certainly, he must have enough volume that the people can hear him above all of that. But when they hear him and it has not something unique and different, something that catches your attention, it's not going to be heard. Because of that, the message must be clear and unmistakable. It makes no difference how often it's repeated, how loud it is thundered. If people do not understand, if they do not comprehend and follow the logic. I worry about this. I'm really concerned about it. I watch you while I'm preaching. When you get that glazed look on your eyes, I'm disturbed. I'm upset. When you look like you know, you're just waiting for it to get over. I done got through. Holmes Moore said once, he was preaching the last of a Bible conference, the last sermon of the 12 message Bible conference, and he said, made this, I thought he was rather astute. He said, I understand my job is to preach the message to you and your job is to hear what I preach. The main problem is that you don't get through with your job before I get through with mine. Now that is always the challenge there. And if I lost you, if you're not following my reasoning, I've lost you. I usually warn people when I go to a meeting and begin, I said, usually these messages are cumulative. Each builds upon the other. And if you lose me somewhere, you're going to be lost. You got to stay with me a while. And we've got to bring people along. If they're not following our argument, they're not hearing. No matter how loud, no matter how often you repeat it over and over. Where are you coming from? What does that have to do with what you just said? Where are you going? Has to be clear, unmistakable. Not only must we use words and language that may be readily understood, it has to invade the minds and thinking of its audience and captivate them with its word. It must be sounded with passion and life and vitality and awakening. And it must be presented with cause to provoke belief and faith and response. Why should I believe? Why should I respond? And then finally, I want to say this, and this I think is eminently proper and timely for us, just before I camp. We who hear the trumpet must not take it lightly and must not dally. We must hear and respond. Dear friend, they didn't sound the trumpet for just anything. Something going on, something moved. God sent this word He's spoken. We must hear and respond exactly. I'm thinking of a message that I heard during the last camp. I don't think I was the only one who heard it, but I knew I was hearing the trumpet. I was hearing the voice of God. I didn't know how soon I would have to go back and remind myself of what I heard and how powerfully and wonderfully right and redemptive and saving that trumpet I heard during the last camp was to me. God speaking. It's for me. I'm hearing it. It has a purpose. Now, we who hear the trumpet must respond exactly in accordance with what we hear. It is the voice of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. And we must hear it while it is called today. And we never know. We never do know. That for some of us, and for us at any particular time, for us, it might be the last trumpet. Amen. Lord, help us to hear. Help us to sound.